Studios. This is the Gregeth and Hook Show. Your teams, your towns, your show. Now here are your hosts, Nick Gregeth and Bill Hooks.
All right, let's do this. I am so excited about this. We got Marco D'Angelo joining the show, wagertalk.com. Jumping on with us to talk about the Super Bowl, what you need to know as we get ready for the big games. Also, we'll talk about some of the things he noticed throughout the season. Marco, what's good, my brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, I have something for you. You might have heard this. Have you heard, you know the song Country Road, Take Me Home?
Uh-huh.
Have you heard the new version?
I have not.
Uh-oh. All right, listen.
You're
here you go,
for a
buddy.
Treat, Marco.
Marco, listen to this gem of a cover. Yes. You're welcome.
Oh, man.
You can tell what they were doing after
You're
the game
welcome.
In Kansas City, can't you?
What I want to know is, were you able to do the show on Monday? Did
no.
you have any voice left?
No, actually, Martin Luther King Day is a holiday around here, so our company won't let us work, so we were not here.
He barely made Thursday.
Tuesday,
he barely
I could barely talk. Yeah, it was a couple days. It was actually so cold out there that when you took out a Busch Light to drink out of your cooler, it would freeze in about 8 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah, that cold weather, by the way, believe it or not, even though they are a physical running team, that cold weather affected Tennessee. You could see it. There was not a big hit out of one of those boys on that team, offense or defense. They were not having that 8-degree weather.
No question about that. And, but as we talked about, generally speaking, the cold weather like that benefits a, punishing running back mm-hmm. like Derrick Henry. I mean, you're supposed to, as the game wears on, I mean, like, you know, I'm going to go back, throw back to my days, but, when we had the bus.
Right.
I mean, he always got better as the game went longer because, you got tired of trying to bring him down. And when you're playing in cold weather like that, every hit just shatters the bones. I mean, it's a ripple effect. And great job for them. I mean, I bashed them for how many weeks about the counterfeit defense and everything. And, I did the about face last week. I told you that the defense, is legit. They made a believer of me in the Houston game after everything that went wrong with them. And then last week, no question, what they did shutting down Tennessee in that game offensively and taking the hottest running back in the game and make him a non-factor in the game, and it played out perfectly except for the fake punt. I
couldn't get it either.
I mean, who did not know that you're down 18 points with 6 minutes and change left? You cannot punt the football away.
I would have literally lined up my normal 4-3 defense and just been like, all right, if you guys are going to punt, just punt it and we'll let the clock run. I was surprised that happened too. So let me ask you this, Marco. Early on, obviously we're going to talk about the line of the game, opening line, also the total, where do we think it'll go, all that kind of stuff. The fact that Kansas City had such a great showing against the hottest running back in football, now they're taking on a team that makes their druthers by running the football. How do you think that is going to affect the line, and is that fool's gold maybe for people?
Well, I'll tell you what. You hear me talk on the show all the time. I love to use the phrase John Q. Public, the average guy that's, making his, $20 and $50 bets, and thinks he's a Sunday warrior and knows everything about football. And you guys know when I'm in Vegas, I'm on the strip all the time and I love to play poker and that. And I love just sitting at the poker table and, people that don't recognize me or know what I do and just listen to them talk. And I was playing poker during the second game last Sunday when the 49ers in Green Bay was playing. After, you know, we got KC home, that was, you know, as I was texting you, that was one of our biggest plays of the year. And so I was in a very good mood on Sunday with that ticket in my pocket ready to cash. And I'm listening to everybody watching the game, and we're like about 3 minutes left. And I already know what the line's going to be coming out. But I want to see what everybody who just watched both games, what their take was. And at the poker table, there was not one single guy that gave the line that had Kansas City the favorite. Not one. Everybody had San Francisco being the favorite anywhere from 1 point to 3 points. And most people with their over-under prediction was saying that it would be probably, it's got to be at least 56 or more. You know, these two teams are going to score and blah, blah, blah. And I love to hear that because that's putting me on the Kansas City side early on. I haven't locked in what I'm doing yet. But the takeaway from it is because the San Francisco team looks so dominant in that first half. Granted, we saw Kansas City fall behind in both games in the first quarter and played, you know, tremendous after that. But they did fall behind in both games. So the public's looking at that. They're looking at that defense for San Francisco. And they put up points against Green Bay. And so now all of a sudden they got the defense and they've got the offense going. You look at the game and you look at the stats, and I'm going like, guys, have you watched the games? Do you realize? And I even sent out a tweet on Sunday. I put a, you know, a gif of Garoppolo, you know, just laughing, and I put the caption, somebody just told him he's going to the Super Bowl and you just completed six passes.
Right.
Okay? I mean, they have not had – they've had everything their way, and it's – fool's gold, as you said. There, people are looking at it, and they think this San Francisco team's invincible now because they remember how good the team was at the beginning of the season defensively. Well, at the beginning of the season, yes, they were healthy, but they also played one of the easiest schedules in the NFL over the first 6 weeks of the season. And I went back and looked at some numbers, and we want to look at current form. That's where you're at. And as you pointed out to me, all of the players that you guys were getting back during the course of the season, and this defense is not the same that it was at the beginning of the season. Over the last five games, Kansas City ranks number one in, you know, the key stats. Overall, strength of schedule, offense, defense. This team is playing well across the board, and I think it's going to be a good game. Garoppolo's going to have to make plays in this game. They're not going to get it done with just the running game. They ran the football the last 2 weeks. You look at their play offensive and the running and passing splits, you can't win that way. 47 and 42 runs, yeah, that's great when you've got a number like that. And you talked about, you know, their stats. When a team runs, you know, this many times or more, they win. Well, of course they do because they're able to run because they have a lead. Only throwing the football 24 times the last two games is not going to get it done against an offense like Kansas City. Kansas City's going to score points. I don't care how good San Francisco's defense is. I don't care how healthy they are now. It's not the Green Bay Packer offensive line. It's not Aaron Rodgers that's sitting back there like a statue. And same way with Kirk Cousins. Look at the two quarterbacks that they faced to get to the Super Bowl. Kansas City played the hottest team in football, Tennessee, last week, and made them look like a mediocre team from the second quarter on.
Hey, Marco, when you look at games like this, the Super Bowl, any kind of college national championship game, obviously we know that there's the over-unders, there's the whole game line. Do you guys look at or buy into the hype of playing some of the quarters or playing the halves based on the fill-out process? Because we saw that in the national championship game with LSU and Clemson where it was a slow starter, right, in the first quarter. I think the over-unders of that thing, first quarter was like 14.5. But then the second quarter, that thing got going. Do you guys take peeks at that stuff?
Oh, absolutely. And that is a perfect example of the national championship game. In that game, the over-under in that game at game time was 66.5. After they got into the first quarter and we were like 6-7 minutes into the game, We have in Vegas, as you said, you can bet quarters. You can bet first quarter. You can bet first half. You can bet second half. But you can also bet in-game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that has changed the landscape of betting in Vegas. And has basically doubled a lot of the sports books' handles is with in-game betting, because everybody that bet the game to start with in the old days, that's done. You made your first bet, you were done, you waited till the game was over, and that's it. Now mm-hmm. you can constantly keep betting, and the game is changing at every stoppage of play, the line. And at one point, it was a 6 or 7 minute mark, that over-under that in-game was 66.5 to start was down to 59.5 because they got off to a slow start.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that angle. You look at a game because it is a championship game, and teams have, you know, they've prepared for how many weeks for that one particular opponent, and you don't want to put your quarterback in a bad position to start the game, you know, maybe take a chance early where you have a turnover, you know, and get your quarterback rattled and stuff. So they come out conservative. Well, then all of a sudden you get that in-game adjustment, and you get a better number in-game, and then as the teams get through that initial, whether it's butterflies, whatever, we saw how fast Kansas City scored in the other games, and you can then bet over at a better number. So mm-hmm. I'm constantly betting in-game, and the Super Bowl, you know, props are going to be as much of the action as the game itself. Props have become one of the biggest money makers for Vegas, and last year, because the Super Bowl was so low scoring, all of the prop bets were either, you know, if it's a yes-no mm-hmm. prop, all the no's were winning. And if it player props with over-unders, yardage, receptions, passes, everything was under. The books cleaned house because the public, they come, they don't want to root for nothing. They want action. They want to see mm-hmm. points. They want to see yards. And the props are all, you know, the average bettor bets yeses and overs. And it was one of the biggest Super Bowls for the sports books last year because of the props. And speaking of the props, if you've ever been to Vegas, Thursday night, for guys that do this for a living, the Thursday night, the week before the Super Bowl, this week, Westgate here in Las Vegas, which is one of the biggest sports books in Las Vegas, they bring out their props, and they bring out 300 different prop bets that you can bet. And what they do is, and tomorrow these will be on sheets. They'll be, you know, how many pages stapled together. You can go into the sports book, pick them up, take them home, study them. But tonight, and tonight only, they will only be posted on the screens inside the sports book, not on the app. You can't bet it on the app. You have to go in person, and you have to look at the screens to do it. And the reason they do that is because they put a lot of work in coming up with all these props. They don't want to make it easy for their competitors to just copy and paste their work. And what happens tonight, every sharp in town is going to be at the Westgate. You can bet two props at a time. You get in line, the line will be out the door, you can get to the window, you can make two bets for max wagers limits of 2,000 per prop. You make your two bets, you get out of line, you go back to the end of the line and start over. You can keep betting all night long, but you can only bet two props at a time. And the reason they do that is they don't want to get one guy at the window that's just sitting there picking off all of their mistakes. And, you know, they want everybody to have a chance at the props. And as they're doing this, as these bets are coming in, they're massaging their numbers
sure.
to get to where they're supposed to really have them at. And, you know, I hate to say it, because if anybody ever wanted to try to, you know, a place to rob in Vegas on Thursday night would be the Westgate, because there's going to be so much cash there of guys coming in to bet those $2,000 props. Trust me, security is very heavy in this sports book. But you want to talk about one place where there'll be a lot of cash tonight. That'll be at 7 p.m. tonight at Westgate. And I know I've said it on the show before, but, you know, for anybody listening for the first time, you know how the props actually became a thing in Vegas, right?
Tell us.
You remember the story?
Let us know.
All right.
Give it to us.
1985, the Chicago Bears, There was a sportsbook director. He's still here in Vegas. He put up a prop on the Super Bowl that year. And that was the year where, you know, they were doing the Super Bowl shuffle and, you know, the Bears were, I mean, they just were marketing everything everywhere you looked. You know, you had McMahon, but the guy, and excuse the pun, that was larger than life was William Refrigerator Perry. Jimmy Vaccaro put up a prop. Will the fridge score a touchdown in the Super Bowl? That was the first prop they ever put up. And they got crucified because Ditka, during the year, had run some plays at the goal line with the fridge and everything. And so people were taking it. It was a big, it was a long shot because who would have ever thought that, you know, I mean, how many touchdowns are scored in a Super Bowl to start with? And back then, the Bears had such a good defense. You know, nobody was scoring on them, so
and
limited
Walter
possessions.
Payton.
Yeah. They got slaughtered on that prop. But what they saw was the birth of how popular that was of a bet to have props. And that is how the props began for Super Bowl wagering. And now it's one of the biggest things that they go. And so they took a hit, that first prop, but they saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and that's when props were born. The following year, you started to see more, and they kept growing and growing to now. Tonight, we'll see 300 out of the Westgate.
I think, and Willie J, you can confirm this, but I'm pretty sure I saw Hooks texting his private jet to be fueled so he can get out.
Boy,
there. You talked him into it.
I'm not sure what's be more fun, the Super Bowl itself there or just doing that for the night.
Oh, that'd be fun, man.
The Super Bowl is one of the biggest attractions, you know, in Vegas. Obviously, the New Year's Eve, we get like, you know, 300,000 people, you know, flock in that weekend for New Year's Eve. There'll be at least 150,000 to 160,000 tourists here that week. And that's the beauty of in talking where the line is right now. Kansas City's won, and the total's at 54. It opened at 1.5 at some of the books and ticked down to 1. It would not surprise me when the, I mean, we haven't had the public bet yet, okay? The public hasn't shown up. They come into town on Friday of Super Bowl weekend, Thursday night and Friday. In the last 48 hours leading up to kickoff is when 80% of the money on the Super Bowl will be wagered. And it will be everybody, you know, betting the over. The over sitting at 54. It opened up at 52 and 52.5. I think that initial buy that you saw go from 52 to 54 was actually the sharps grabbing the 52. And the reason that they did that, knowing that when the public comes to town, they're not betting the under.
Right.
This line will probably kick off game time at 56, 56.5, because the public's going to bet the over. So the sharps have a ticket in their pocket right now of over 52. If they like, which, and I'll be honest right now, my initial lean is the under, but I'm going to wait as long as possible to let the public drive this line up so I get the best number. The sharps will come back right close to kickoff when it gets to its highest peak, like me, and bet the under, and then they'll bet the under for a lot more. So they'll have some money at over 52, and they'll have a ton of money at under 56, 56.5. Maybe we get to 57, and they could, you know, they're going to be rooting for the under, but if it lands 53, 54, 55, they win both bets.
Nice. Wow. Hey, Marco, I was curious because the Super Bowl is interesting in that both teams get a bye week, right? Both teams are off. Both teams get to take a look at the other team, decide what they're going to do. There are certain statistics out there that are interesting when it revolves around Andy Reid. I know we talk all the time about his record coming off of, you know, a bye week. I think there's also something to be said that in 31 career starts for Pat Mahomes, he's been held under 21 points one time in 30, that which is an insane stat in its own right. When you look at those, how do you take those and do you operate the same with those as you would during the regular season? Or do you look at it differently because it is the Super Bowl and there's so many other factors that get, you know, that add into this thing?
Well, It is a stat that you're going to hear. The one that you'll hear, obviously, is everybody knows about, you know, Andy Reid and the success he's had. And that goes back not just at Kansas City. It goes back to when he was at Philadelphia, that he was, you know, one of the best in game preparations when he had that extra week. But it is a number that you'll look at and you'll quote, but you're right. You can't look at it the same as you would a regular season game because there's so many more variables. There's distractions. You've got this first week, and one of the reasons that, you know, the NFL put that extra week in between, if you remember, it wasn't always this way. And it's such a distraction for the teams to, you've got to deal with tickets. You've got to deal with travel. And for the players, you know, everybody and their brother that you ever knew is calling you up trying to get Super Bowl tickets, okay? Every player gets a certain allotment that he has and everything. And it's white noise that is a distraction. They have people on the team that handle all of that, but still, you know, you've got family members, you've got close friends, everybody's reaching out to you. So you need that first week just to get your, you know, all the ducks in a row, so to speak, and then, you know, get on that plane, go to the site, and then you've got media day, the circus, and that. So it's not the same as doing that 2 week period from your bye week during the regular season. You know, the players, you know, they get time off. You're not getting time off with these 2 weeks here. It's business as usual. You're putting in the time. You're dissecting both teams every which way in coming up with your game plans and implementing it so that when you do get to Miami, you hit the ground running. You get, you know, acclimated down there. You have that media day that, you know, is fun. But how many times can you answer the same question, you know, posed to you 85 different ways? It's the same question. So I don't put as much stock in that. And the other part is how many times have, you know, Andy Reid's been in a Super Bowl before, but, you know, you always have that asterisk for most of the coaches in situations like that. They haven't been there. This will be the first one for Shanahan as a head coach, obviously. But, of course, he was there before in the most stupidest play calling game at the end of the Super Bowl when you let New England have time on the clock by not running the football when they blew the lead there. And that's a sore spot with me because I got that one twice. I got both. I had Atlanta in that game and I had the under, and I had both of them very large that day. And I went from two surefire winners to two losers in a matter of a couple minutes at the end of the game and that going to overtime.
Marco, my biggest concern for you tonight when you're doing the rotation of the line is that you're not going to be able to consume as many chicken wings tonight as you normally might, right?
That is a problem. But you know what, guys? Because you're not betting on the app, you're actually getting paper tickets. I can't have, you know,
wing sauce.
You can't get it everywhere.
Okay? I mean, that's a rookie move. Come on. Yeah, and somebody that's supposed to be the chicken king, you know that, right?
I'm still, hey, man.
Oh, he is the chicken
king. Yeah, don't worry about that. I'm trying to get you fed, though, so you can stay upright and stay focused.
Don't worry. Marco doesn't miss any meal.
Hey, Marco, real quick before we get you out of here, is there something that you see every year is just a sucker bet around the Super Bowl? I mean, it could be national anthem time. It could be MVP. I don't know. Is there one that you just say, I will never in a million years touch that bet?
Well, the first bet is the coin toss, okay? The coin toss is a 50-50 proposition.
Right.
No question about it. The books are charging you minus 110 for a 50-50 proposition. Mm-hmm. You're negative EV even if you win the bet.
Yes.
Okay? There's no scientific way to judge a coin flip. And if we sit there all day, and I'll book your bet all day, we can flip coins for, you know, 1,000 times. But if every time you lose, you're giving me, let's say we're doing it for, you know, $10. So mm-hmm. You're giving me $11 every time you lose. I'm giving you $10 every time you win. At the end of the day, you're going to be broke. Okay, mm-hmm. Because even if we go 50-50, I'm making money. I'm making
right.
10% edge on you on a 50-50 proposition. And I know you say, but Marco, that's on any bet. It is on any bet you've got a 50-50 chance of winning or losing, but because I am a handicapper, I can pick and choose what bets I have where I feel I have an edge. There is zero edge to a coin flip.
My wife always wants me to bet on the national anthem every year. She's like, "You're in the music industry, you should know." I'm like, "I don't know about Demi Lovato, okay?
Yeah. Yes.
Who knows if she's going to hold a note for 18 minutes or breeze through this thing as fast as possible."
Well, two things on that. People actually, and it's the beauty of YouTube now, they will search every time that she has sung a national anthem. But as you said, when it's on this stage, you got to be a little more dramatic and you hold notes a little bit longer, but they get an idea. But remember this, you can't bet that prop in Las Vegas. The Nevada, now some of the other states might allow that because they've got different jurisdictions. But in Nevada, the rules are, for any by the Nevada Gaming Commission, it has to be something that is in a box score. It has to be a stat. And the coin flip is part of the game. It is, you know, you won the coin toss. So that is in the stat. So you can bet the coin toss, but you can't bet the national anthem because it's not in a box score.
Finally, I wonder, I'm sure it'll be up there somewhere, about Pat Mahomes throwing an interception in the Super Bowl. I'm sure that box.
There are always, you'll have the yes or no's, and those will be, you know, juiced one way or the other. You won't be laying, you know, 110 either way on that. It'll be higher or lower.
Sure.
There'll be touchdown passes. You'll have an over-under on the number of receptions. The interesting one is going to be, and I'm curious to see it, is what they put the pass attempt completions for Jimmy Garoppolo because of how little they threw the football in the last two games. And public is going to overreact to recency bias. But I can tell you this much, you know, it was a reflection of the way the game went. If Kansas City scores two touchdowns right away, you can't be grinding down the field like we talked about with, you know, Derrick Henry. You got to throw the football. Mm-hmm. And you might get some soft numbers on the props. But in general, guys, if you're betting a ton of props, and at the end of the day, you look at all of your tickets, and you have more yeses on the yes-nos and more overs on the over-under wagers, you're generally going to be a loser.
I'll be curious in this game to see, because if I were the Niners attacking that Chiefs defense, because the Chiefs are going to be playing their heavy guys, because they have two distinct sets on their defense. They got their run stoppers, like Reggie Ragland, who can't cover. Like, my little boy could go out and run a five and out, and Reggie Ragland would be nowhere near him if my seven-year-old did that. And if you go back to the Packers game when the Packers played the Chiefs came in and went heavy to try to stop the run. They didn't have their starting quarterback, all those things. And the Packers running backs went out and put up like 150 yards receiving. They were catching passes downfield, out in the flat, all over the place. If I were the Niners, that's what I would attack. But you look at the Niners, they have zero history of throwing the ball to their running backs this season. They really don't. They don't throw the ball to their backs. So it'll be that's going to be a fun little cat and mouse game as we watch it.
It is in the matchup with Kelce over the middle. You know, Green Bay didn't have enough playmakers to stretch that defense. You send, you know, Tyreek Hill, you know, downfield.
Yeah.
You know, it opens the middle up, you know, and if you do try to clog up Kelce, and then you're going to end up with Hill in man-to-man in some, you know, and that, I don't care.
Love Richard Sherman, but he ain't chasing Tyreek Hill down the field.
Absolutely. So it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it, and next week we'll break it all down where our money's
going. All right,
brother.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks, Thank Marco. You for jumping on. That was some great stuff, Marco. We'll catch you. Hey, tell everybody,
guys,
it's a big week for people. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Head over to Wager Talk. You can check out the Bet On It show. We talked about different things, some of the stuff we talked about today. But I'll give you a disclaimer. Kelly was on vacation this week, so it's just three dudes on the show this week.
All right, I'll still watch it.
I'll still watch.
You know, I'll be a little sad, that's all.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
All right, appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, Marco.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Marco D'Angelo. Great stuff from him, as always. I've been trying to think through, and I know you guys know I'm a big Chiefs fan, but I always try to like logically think through paths on this game going, that kind of stuff. And the Niners, the one advantage they'd have is they have some home run hitting backs. Like, they have comparable to what Green Bay has for running backs in terms of guys that can get downfield, catch the ball. Mostert, Breda, depending on what Tevin Coleman looks like. Their tight end, Juszczyk, had 24 targets out of the backfield this year. So they have guys that can do it. The question is, will they do it? Because the Chiefs, I'm telling you right now, they literally come in with shifts. They've got this. This is why when we were talking Titans last week, remember how many times I said they ain't running on the Chiefs? I know everybody keeps telling me the Chiefs defense sucks at run defense. It actually doesn't. It's when they put in their big set, they're one of the best in the league.
Yep.
But then they also come out with these guys that are tiny. They'll play like a safety, Dan Sorensen at middle linebacker.
Yep.
And if you're patient enough to run on that, you'll get yards. But they only put him in passing downs or passing situations. Niners present a little bit of a challenge there, depending on what the Chiefs decide to do.
Yeah, I think a lot of this will, for me, again, there's going to be so much of this film work that they're going to do and look at each other, look at pass games and all this. To me, Andy Reid is good. He's really good at the scheme adjustments, right? Mm-hmm. Shanahan and the 49ers have not had to do that very often. How many times have you watched them this year and they just stick to their guns? They are who they are.
I don't know how they're going to play. I'll be honest. I don't know how their secondary covers Kansas City's receivers.
I agree with that, but you know, on the offense side, does Kyle Shanahan have it in him when things don't, when you got the big guys up front for Kansas City who just stopped Derrick Henry, if that gets stopped, does he have it in him to adjust the offense? To grapple. I think that's going to be a key in this thing because it's going to happen at some point in the game.
Do you think, and we got a whole week and I'm excited about this, but do you think there is a possibility, you go back to that Niners-Saints game, and this was pointed out to me by my good buddy Dow, go back to that Niners-Saints game down in New Orleans where it was back and forth, I think the end score was like 45-43, something like that. The question is do the Niners have it into them, in them, to put up that kind of game? Because Garoppolo threw a bunch of touchdowns in that game. Again, though, that was at a time where the Saints' defense was playing poor. So it laid into that kind of game developing. The Saints' defense got a lot better after that game. I think they learned a lot there. Kansas City's a team that's one of the top in the league in pass defense. So I don't know. It's going to
be interesting.
The one thing that is the X factor that we don't know and that from a Niners perspective they'll have to answer is, will they crack under pressure? Because we know Pat Mahomes doesn't. We've seen it now, him come back. And we also know that the Chiefs' offense puts an immense amount of pressure on teams.
Yep.
So judging just from that, that's going to be a wonderful matchup to watch in this game. Yeah, and then the Niners' pass rush, I mean, they have Warner is a brilliant middle linebacker, one of my favorite guys to watch in the league, plays for the Niners. They've got two defensive ends that are both Pro Bowl caliber, outstanding defensive ends. Kansas City counters that with two All-Pro tackles. So which side of that gets the best of that? The one prop bet that I want to see, and I wonder if it's worth taking a flyer on, I brought up Pat Mahomes' interceptions. He's played in four playoff games now. He has zero interceptions, and he has 13 total touchdowns. He's also passing at a stupid, like his completion percentage this postseason is just silly. I'll be curious to see what the prop is on that. And I would actually put a low amount of money on an interception.
On him throwing one.
Because I think they're going to early take a deep shot to test that Niners secondary. And I could see a situation where Pat's being flushed and throws it, but he's just nails. So
yeah, he's been too good to.
That'll be one to watch and see. But on that one, I would have to have a big time return.
Yeah, to get it. It'd be a lot of plus money there for sure.
Definitely.
And it will be.
But that might be one to throw out there, but I honestly don't think he will throw a pick, but it's worth it because of the plus money that would be in there. Let's take a quick break. You listen to Greg at the Hook.